And thank everybody. Appreciate it. Mama, it's good to see you. Good to see you at the church this morning. Glad you finally got right. Hey, did she put an offering in? Before I start bragging on her. She didn't, Gracie? No? I ain't going to brag on her then. I'm glad you made it today. Y'all keep her in your prayers, and she goes back to the doctor Tuesday. But, Isaiah 45, we'll read verse 22. Just want to kind of talk to you. I want to look at you for a second this morning because it's been on my heart just to sit back and look at y'all for a second. But, because I've been seeing you about all morning. I didn't see you with your mouth wide open, Eric. I saw you with your mouth closed. He said that's the only time. He said church is the only time he gets to open his mouth. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you. I know that it might be corny or whatever. I don't understand all that stuff. I quit trying to be cool a long time ago. And by the time I had 3 kids and they started puking in my lap and all that, I gave up on cool. All that was gone. That's out the window. And, you know, man, when you're hiding from the landlord, you give up on cool. But I want you to understand this morning that I mean this from the bottom of my heart. And I don't say it because I stand in the pulpit and want to say it. I say it because it's in my heart all week long when I'm studying and preparing and I pray and stuff like that. And I don't do much of any of it. But when I do it, you come to my mind. You come to my mind's eye and I can see you. And I'm honest with you. I'm standing before you this morning. I'm telling you, you are much more than what I deserve to preach to today. Much more. That's right. You're much more than what I deserve to be able to preach to today. So I thank you for being here and all that. Isaiah 45, 22, that's enough pumping y'all up. Your head's so big now you won't be able to get over our knee. But verse 22 says this. God said, Jesus said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Boy, I just like it. We've preached out of Isaiah 45 before where all those, there is none else. This verse is the Lord's plea today and always has been to this world. It's his plea. And I thank God for our Sunday school lesson. Thank God it stirred my soul and there were so many things that were said during Sunday school that's already been resonating in my heart, in my mind this week and through the night last night and even this morning. But you must understand that Isaiah 45, 22 is exactly what Jesus did in John chapter 3, verse 16. 45, 22 is the Lord's plea. He says to this world, look to me and be saved. In John chapter 3, verse 16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He illustrated Isaiah 45, 22. And he said this, he said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And as Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, here's what the idea was. If you'll look to Jesus, you'll live. Amen. If you'll just look to him, you can have this blessed life. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So John 3:16 is another picture of exactly what he said in Isaiah 45, 22. When he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, he was saying, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. He said in John 3:16, for I am God and there is none else besides him. Amen. That was our way. Contrary to many opinions today, this man on the cross was much, much more than just a prophet. That's right. Now, you can talk to a lot of different people today and they'll give you a lot of different opinions and ideas about who Jesus is. And if you talk to the Jewish people today, they want to tell you, yes, we like Jesus, but in their mind, Jesus is nothing more than just another good man. Maybe some of them can go a little bit deeper than that and say Jesus was a good prophet. But church, I come to tell you today, he's much more than a good man. He's much more than a prophet. He's much more than just an angel. He is God, ladies and gentlemen. He's Jesus, amen. He's the God-man. He was God on that cross. You understand? He wasn't just a good man on the cross. On the cross, he was made sin for us. But on that cross, he was much more than a good man. He was more than a prophet. He was God manifest in the flesh. He is the redeemer of mankind. He is the creator. And you'll get to God through salvation. You'll get to salvation through him, or you won't get there at all. Right. You'll either get to God through Jesus, you'll get to salvation through the blood, through Jesus Christ, or you won't get to salvation at all. That's right. It's going to be through Jesus. I know this world has many false Christs. And it's set up its own ways. Lord have mercy. We've all heard Oprah Winfrey talk on the diversity of ways to heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, her money world that she lives in, she's done made up her mind that there's many, many ways to heaven. You just pick the one that you want to take. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll die in that belief, you'll die in that religion, you'll die in that false doctrine and go to hell. I'm telling you, you're going to come through Jesus or you're not coming at all. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is the one that made a way for us. He's our Redeemer. He's our Creator. You'll get salvation through him or you won't get there at all. I know the world has all these false religions and false ideas and false Jesus. You understand that? They have their own little Jesus. But according to John chapter number 10, everybody that comes to Jesus any other way is a thief and a robber. Friend, you're going to come through Jesus or you're not coming at all. Now, I said something a while ago and I don't know why it just keeps coming to my mind. But for some reason in the world that we live in, Miss Stephanie, you can go to a Baptist church your entire life and you can sit under Holy Ghost Bible preaching where the Spirit of God is blessing it and the Spirit of truth is dwelling on it, ladies and gentlemen. And people can begin to have doubts in their hearts and doubts in their minds under the inspiration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today's Baptist will tell you they can dismiss that through some prayer. They can take you back to a time when you prayed a little religious prayer. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that greater is he that's in me than he that's in all the world. If Bible preaching it's being done, if the Holy Ghost is blessing the Word of God and there's doubts in your heart, if there's doubts in your mind, you better learn to embrace them doubts, look them in the eyes and say thank God, because it ain't the devil. Amen. Let me ask you a question. For by what? For by grace are you saved. Through what? Through faith. Faith is what? Faith is believing. Jesus Christ puts a saving faith. I've had faith ever since I was these kids' age. When I was a little boy and we was running around up there doing our thing, I always believed there was a Jesus. I believed he was the Son of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I come to that place where I was like that other man. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And the faith of Jesus Christ was placed in my heart. I'm telling you, it was the gift that God gives us. That gift of faith to believe that Jesus Christ will save my soul. Now, if I say that I'm saved and I have faith in him and his faith is in me, and I sit and tell you that I doubt, how much sense does that make? Can faith and doubt coexist? I don't care what the people say. Your Bible says it can't. I'm telling you what the Bible said. The Bible said he'll give you a full assurance. He'll save you completely, friend. He'll remove all the doubt. You know what faith will do? Faith will take away the doubt. Faith will settle it once and for all. Faith will help you, thank God. Even if you woke up in the middle of hell, I'll say, I know that Jesus is coming to get me out. I'm telling you, friend, that's the kind of assurance that Jesus will give. That wasn't in here for some reason. I keep saying, I keep thinking about that this morning, because we have a world that's eat up with a false doctrine that it's okay to doubt. And the devil is the one that's making you doubt. Let me ask you a question. How smart is that? I'm not very bright. But if I'm sitting in church, Eric, and there's something wrong in my soul, and the devil comes to me and he starts raising the question of doubt, do you think that he's doing that so that I can get this thing settled once and for all for God? Would the devil do that? Would he be so kind to come to where you at and create this doubt so that you can deal with God once and for all and get this thing settled? You know what the devil does? The devil will stand you up in front of a church. He'll give you a preacher with a nice suit and tie on. He'll stroke your pride. He'll let you stand up there and he'll tell everybody how saved you are and how God saved you. But I'm telling you, friend, Jesus Christ will give you an assurance, and it don't matter what nobody says. Right. Assurance. Here's what I'm trying to say. There's no way in the midst of God moving. I'm talking about, and if you're underneath false doctrine, if you're underneath another version of the Bible, if you get some kind of old wicked sin in your life, yeah, you can probably start having some problems. But friend, when you get underneath the Word of God being rightly divided and preached, and the Holy Ghost smiles on it and blesses it, I'm telling you, friend, and those doubts begin to work in your mind and heart, that's God. That's God. That's God. That's God, friend. I'm telling you, he ain't going to take a back seat and tell the devil, I'm taking a break. Now you have it, these people. You plague them with doubts. You plague them with fears. No, friend. God is the one that's going to settle this thing with you. God's the one that's going to bring it up through the preaching of God's Word. That's what the Word of God does. It exposes things. It reveals things. It takes it and lets you see yourself as God sees you. That's what the Word of God does. We're living in a generation today that don't even know the laws of God. That's right. We're living in a generation today, all they ever had was a prayer. You understand? All they ever done was make a little trip to the altar. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to help people of God. I don't give a flip how many tears you've cried, how long you laid on that altar, how good of a prayer you prayed. I'm telling you, the saving faith of Jesus Christ wasn't applied into your heart and soul. You'll die in your religion and your profession, and you'll doubt in your doubts and fears, and God, go to hell with every bit of it. I don't believe you have to hit an altar. I believe sometimes before your second foot ever hits the floor. Amen. I believe if you was to die between the first step and the second step, instead of you toward God, I believe you'd die and go to heaven. I believe, Michael, if God, the Holy Spirit, is not dealing with you, if God's drawing you, I'm telling you, you respond in faith and obedience to the Word of God. If you come to God as a repentant sinner, I'm telling you, if you died before you took the second step, I believe you'd land in heaven, friend. Whether you got to pray a prayer, get patted on the back, go through the baptistry, anything, friend, I'm talking about a Bible salvation. Be like that thief on the cross. Boy, wasn't he something. Don't you know? Well, I like when old brother Sammy gets to talking about his daddy. How his daddy Eric got in the Holy Ghost conviction. He said if he'd been in the average fundamental independent fundamental Baptist church, they wouldn't have let his daddy go without making about six professions. Boy, I'm telling you, they let that old man sit in the Holy Ghost conviction until he couldn't take it no more, and he found that place of repentance, and God birthed him into the family of God. And you know what he said? I like the testimony. He said, my daddy didn't cuss no more. My daddy didn't gamble no more. He didn't fight chickens no more. Hey, man, he didn't drink that liquor no more. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a change, friend. That's what salvation will do. It'll bring a change in your life. A real change. Do you understand that people can join a church and get them a Bible and start practicing that Bible and be faithful to the church
and change their life for the better? Sure. And still die and go to hell.
You can change your life for much, much better. You can have a much better home. You and your wife can have a much better relationship. And I'm telling you, you can practice what that Bible says and be faithful to the church, and you can pay your tithes and die and go to hell. I'll tell you something, Miss Stephanie. If God ever passes a man from death unto life, he couldn't go to hell if he had to. Amen. Church, he's as saved as God is. You understand how saved that is? That's eternally saved. You can't unsave that fellow. You can't put that man in hell for an eternity. You can't put that man down. That's a blessed assurance that Jesus. How in the name of God do we sing them songs? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to find. I'm telling you, Miss Stephanie, if I didn't have blessed assurance, I wouldn't be singing that song. I'm telling you, church, I was plagued with doubts and plagued with fears because I made a confession as a 15-year-old boy. And as a 15-year-old boy, I got up off my knees and I had me a time, I had me a place, I had me a profession, but I had no possession. I had everything the Baptist should have, but I didn't have Jesus. I tell you, my name was never written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, beloved, today, but that blessed night where I found a place of repentance and I bowed before a holy God and said, oh God, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
I tell you, it wasn't what the people said, but I did it according to what the Bible said. Amen. I did what Jesus said. You know what, Steve? I didn't even know what all the Bible said about it. I didn't have a clue when I got saved what all the Bible said about me getting saved. I didn't know the terminology. I didn't know a lot of the pros and cons. I didn't know all that kind of in and out. I didn't know all that. I just knew where I was at with God. I knew I was hanging over hell. I knew I was lost in my sin. I knew that I was living a wicked life. After my profession, I got wickeder after I made my profession than I did all the days of my life. I never really knew how to smoke dope until I made a good Baptist profession. I never knew nothing about drinking booze until I made a good Baptist profession. I never knew nothing about running in this whole world until I made a good Baptist profession. But I never knew nothing about living for God until God passed me from death unto life. That blessed night, thank God, where he heard my cry and brought me out of a horrible pit. I'm telling you, church, what a blessed day that was. What a happy day. My life. I'm telling you, it changed everything. You hear me? My home didn't just get better. Oh man, we didn't just have a different outlook. I'm telling you, friend, it changed everything about me. It changed the way I think. It changed the way I talk. It changed the music I listen to. It changed the places I went. It changed the crowd I hung with. It changed everything in my life. All of my desires begin to change, little by little. And Steve, the older I've got, more and more I study the Word of God, I see how that blessed experience of mine with Jesus Christ lines up with the Word of God. My experience with Jesus Christ lines up with that book, church. As I'm reading this morning, glory, glory, glory. As I'm sitting over in my place this morning, because Jesus was up waiting on me in the living room, and I got up and went and sat with him. I began to read the blessed book, and God began to reveal some more truth to me. You know what it did, Miss Tammy? It made my soul shout. It stirred my blessed soul. I'm telling you, I was there once again as a 49-year-old man saying, there it is. There it is. There it is. That blessed assurance. Whoa, that whisper of the Spirit says, hey, son, you're mine. Hey, man, I'm yours. It's good. You know what Jesus told me this morning, sitting in there holding that blessed book, holding him in my lap? You know what Jesus said to me this morning, sitting in the living room in my little dilapidated house? You know what he said? You're mine, son. I'm yours. You know what, church? And they not put a bank account on my name. And they not give me clout in the community. But it does a whole lot for my soul. It encouraged me in the Lord. I'm telling you, lifting my spirits. And I can say as a child of God, he is mine and I'm his. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. God manifest in the flesh on that cross, church. If I ask you a question, today? On what do you base your salvation? Huh? If I ask you that question, what do I do with my spit rag? What do you base your salvation on? Is it some little old prayer? Hey, listen to me, church. I've whitewashed people before. I've stood people up and bragged about them being saved. Look at me real good in my God-given eyeballs. By the grace of God, I'll never stand nobody up and tell them that they're saved. Son, if you ain't got enough God about you to do that on your own, you don't need me to do it. I'm not going to whitewash another one. By the grace of God, I hope to God I never stand another one up. I hope to God I never, and I've done it before. But Steve, I hope to God I've never taken another one down the little Romans road. I hope I never push another prayer on one. I hope I never have to tell one to pray this or pray that. If there ain't enough God in here to take care of that, if you can't get to Him, ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem, because He'll come to you. You don't have to have me or anybody else. And I tell you, thank God that God will send you somebody. Because Philip had to go out and meet a man one day that understood not. But ladies and gentlemen, that ain't our dispensation. We sit underneath the gospel. We've heard some of the greatest preaching in the world. We know what Jesus said. We know what it takes to be born again. There's no excuse for us. No excuse. Like what Steve prayed a while ago. If he didn't do another thing, he's already done enough. Isaiah chapter 5 says, Jesus said, what more could I have done that I've not already done? I've done it all. I've done it all. What else you need? I'm asking you today, what do you base your salvation on? Meaning, there's some things in this Bible that are evidence of a work of grace in people's lives. If God has done a work of grace in you, there will be evidence in you that matches this King James Bible. And you can put your finger on it and say, that's how I know I'm saved. Hey boy, when you can put your finger on the blessed book and say, that's how. You understand when John said, John was over there in a place where everybody was claiming to know Jesus and nobody was a living holy. People was making all kind of false professions. And John got there and said, hey, let's see who really saved. And he said, we know we've passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. Boy, he got to going down through there. These things have I written unto you, why? That you may know. That you may know that you have eternal life. John said, we're going to remove some doubts, okay? We're going to know some things. There's some evidences in this blessed book that you ought to be able to put your finger on and say, right there, that's how I know I'm saved. Because listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, when you did get saved, there's this thing called the Spirit of Truth. And when you got saved, God put that Spirit of Truth in you. Right. And when the Spirit of Truth hears the Word of Truth, there's something that gets going on down on the inside. Hey, I'm not asking you to explain it. I'm just telling you that living Christ, the amen that lives inside of you, that Spirit of Truth that lives inside of you, He's a bearing witness with the truth coming from the blessed book. And there's an amen that gets up in your soul. Sometimes you'll utter it before you can even shut your mouth. Right. Because he's just bearing witness with the truth. Some truths, Miss Stephanie. Some things that we ought to know. Some things in this Bible proves that you're saved. I believe if a person gets saved, there's going to be a great change in their life. I said a great change in their life. Everybody can change. You can change with a New Year's resolution. Now, whether you stick to it or not, I don't know, because I kept a few and failed at a few. Right. I'll never forget trying to quit tobacco. And man, I'd throw a can out. I ain't never doing it again. I'm quitting. Son, I'm telling you, it was because I just had a dip. And that nicotine fix was in my blood, and I was doing well. About 30 minutes later, when that thing started wearing off, that nicotine started crawling up in my blood, going, hey, boy, you need some more of me. And I was going, yeah, but I just threw $3 of you out the window. And man, I'm telling you, time would go on, and my mind would start playing tricks on me. And man, my body would start acting a little stupid because it wasn't getting that poison. Next thing I know, church, I'd be back there at the store getting me another can.
Get me a dip out of it, man. I feel like an old junkyard dog. Feel terrible. I mean, man, just feel awful about it. I'd get me a dip. I've done it time and time again. I'd get me a dip out of it, man. I'd get that thing fixed up. I mean, that poison flowing through my blood. I'd open the window. I'd throw that can out and say, "That's it. I'm fed up. I ain't doing it no more." That's it. There's a lot of people that's quit, Miss Stephanie, but never got saved. A lot of people, you quit smoking without getting saved. You quit drinking without getting saved. I did. I quit. The Lord convicted me about it. I was lost. You hear me? I was lost. And the Lord convicted me about drinking. And son, I found me a place of repentance, and I repented of drinking before I ever got saved. I don't think I'd have ever got saved if I hadn't turned from drinking when God convicted me of it. I don't believe I'm talking about me, okay? That's me. I don't believe I ever would. God dealt with me and I had to put it out. I'll never forget, Mama, me and Jerry went fishing. We was fishing in a bass tournament down there in Edenton. We was in Salmon Creek down there. Me and him said, "Now, Steve, these was 3 days, 12 hours a day. And it wasn't fishing, it's work when you're doing that junk. No pleasure in it, you're just working. You're throwing room." I'll never forget, Eric, I took off one morning without my cooler. You pack your lunch and you pack your drinks. And I was lost. And I had me some Coca-Colas or Pepsis, whatever it was, and a cooler. And I had me some sandwiches, Miss Debbie. And I run off that morning and forgot my cooler. Got out there, man, and that old heat, and I mean, it was 90-some degrees, and out there all day. Man, I looked over there, and Jerry was a-drinking beer. She had his cooler. He's a-popping them tops and drinking that beer. I was so thirsty. I was so parched. Man, I'm telling you, he looked at me and said, "Won't you have one, man? Just take one and drink it." I was lost. God done dealt with me about it. I ain't saying I'm good, but I'm just saying God dealt with me about it. I wasn't worth spitting on, you understand? But God dealt with me about that. I told him, I said, "That's all right. Michael, I went as long as I could go. And I reached down there in that old black creek and got my hands in it, just sort of scooping out that water and just trying to fix my parched throat." I said, "Man, well, you crazy." I might be crazy, but God's dealt with me on drinking alcohol. I can't. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, there are some changes that you can make and still be lost. But I'm going to tell you, when you get born again, there'll be some great changes in your life. There'll be some great changes. What is a great change? A great change is when you come out of darkness into light. Amen. That's a pretty good change. Huh? You ever been in a dark place, ladies and gentlemen, and couldn't find your way? You ever been in a dark place and you're stumbling for your next step, then all of a sudden somebody turned the lights on? You ever been out there in a dark place and your eyes get big and you kind of crash down and start feeling your way through and you start thinking about walking circumspectly and feeling every step and everywhere you go? And man, all of a sudden somebody turns the light on. It's a change, friend. You know what I was doing, Miss Holly? I was going through this life just trying to feel my way through. It was dark, man. I couldn't see my way. I'm telling you, thank God, out of nowhere, God called light out of darkness and he changed my life. Friend, he set me on a new path and he established my goings. What a great change. What a great change to get out of the dark into the light. What a great change. We have a salvation being preached today, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm trying to say is, leaves you in the dark. We have a salvation today that leaves people in doubt. Wouldn't you want a salvation that didn't leave you in a place like that? I'm talking about a salvation that leaves you in fear. Huh? Who in the name of God wants that for a salvation where there's fears that's plagued you, doubts that's plagued you? Hey, even this church, how about a salvation that leaves you in your sin? We have a salvation today that all you got to do is make a profession. And hey, friend, you don't have to change. You just keep. I've been on the trail with them. I've heard these cats with my own ears. Man, you don't have to change. Just pray this prayer. What? That's not what your Bible says, is it? Does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say that? Is that what it says? Is that what your King James? Is that what God said in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Or did he say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new or made new. Huh? How about that? How about coming out from among them? How about separating yourself? How about living holy? How about coming out and living godly? How about being spirit-filled? How about living unto God? That's a great change, ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask you a question. Is that taking place in your life? Has that taken place? Let me tell you something. If you've got saved, if you've made a profession and you can still live in your sin, look at me real good. You never got saved. I'm not here to throw the doubt. I'm here to tell you what the Bible said. You're not going to get saved and live in sin. You're not going to get saved and live in sin. You're not going to get saved and live in sin and get by with it, friend.
Because he chastens who he loves.
Can I be honest with you? I think I might have shouted about this a week or so ago. I don't remember when it was or where it was. But can I tell y'all, I was sitting over in my little place one morning with the Lord. And he began to show me the chastening of the Lord. And I began this day tonight to talk to you about it just last week. That I don't get by with nothing. Every time I slip a little here, slip a little there, the chastening hand of God comes down on me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't get the pooch mouth over that. God's took me behind the woodshed. Son, I seen that. He said, I chasten who I love. Boy, I got to see the faithfulness of his chastening hand in my life, and I began to rejoice in the chastening of the Lord. Amen. Thank God for it, church. How do you know you're saved? Because my Father takes me out to the woodshed and straightens me out when I get out of line. Amen. Thank God.
What a great change when a person comes out of darkness into light. The salvation of this Bible will take you. Listen, the salvation of this Bible will take you from unrighteous to righteous. From unrighteousness to righteousness. Is that not so? Is that a Bible salvation? Sure it is. If you can live unrighteous, it's not a Bible salvation. Because Bible salvation will take you out of that and put you into that glorious light. I was thinking about it. And I'm probably getting way out of whack and way out of line and way out of time. But ladies and gentlemen, go over in John chapter 8. And I believe it's John 8, 44. He said, ye of your father. And the lust of your father you shall do. Hello? Can we stop right there? The lust of your father shall you do. You know what we do, Zach? See? You know what we do? We do what our father commands us. You fulfilling them sinful lusts? You living in that lust? You living in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the world? You living in the lust of Satan? You know who your father is? He's Satan, friend. It's exactly right. He said, the lust of your father, you'll do. That's something. Salvation of this Bible will take you from unrighteousness to righteousness. What's this, church? And this is something we've got so far away from. I'm hurrying. It'll take you from unholy to holy. I'll just walk out the door and be done right there, Miss Stanley. I'm just telling you that's all we've got to say. If your salvation left you in a place of unholiness, you did not get a Bible salvation. Because every evidence of God all the way through that Bible, friend, if God ever does show up, if God ever does move, if God ever does smile, if we're sitting here today and we sing a song, ladies and gentlemen, and it produces holiness, that's God, friend. If it don't produce holiness, it's not God, because the fruit of God, the evidence of God, the production of God, the essence of God is holy. He'll take a person from unholy to holy. And I don't care what nobody says. The Bible says, be holy even as your Father, which in heaven is holy. You want to know why you and I can be holy today? Because God said for us to be holy. I can't be holy in my own strength, power, or merit. But I can be holy in the Word of Jesus Christ. I can be holy in obedience to His Word. I can be holy because God said to be holy. And because He's passed me from death to life. Sure. Go from the lust of Satan to walking in the Spirit. What you walking in, ladies and gentlemen? You walking in the Spirit? That's what Bible salvation to do. That's great changes in a person's life. Y'all remember old Brother Travis Clayton getting up here singing? I can't get away from it. I can't get it out of my mind. Today I went back to the place where we used to live, huh? Boy, I'm telling you, my little boy ran and hid behind the door. I'm telling you, he said, son, I'm not the man I used to be. Thank God, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ will change you. Friend, your kids can come out of hiding. Your kids can sit on your lap. Your kids can enjoy your company. Your wife will be glad to see you coming. Your husband will rejoice in you. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be a great change in your life. Walking in the Spirit. So we're not walking in this old world. We're not walking in this old flesh. Not walking in the pride of life, we're walking in the Spirit now. You say, how do I do that? You got to look unto Jesus constantly, the author and finisher of our faith. We've done discussed it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When you get saved, ladies and gentlemen, he'll change your desires. Is that so? All these young children in here, I'm telling you, when you get saved, he'll change your desires. Now, they're at the age, many of them is, where they just soon go out, and I'm just being honest, they just soon play and stay at home and make a mess as they had to go down to the house of God. They just had. I did. And then when I got to the point where I was old enough to where I wanted to go to church, it was just because there's some little cute-eyed girl sitting over there I wanted to make eyes. And I said, yeah, I didn't give a flip about God. I didn't care about the preaching. Kidding me? God? Man, what about that good-looking girl sitting over there? I wasn't worried about God. No. When I got born again, changed my desires. Is that a blessing? Changed my desires. You said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about it just made me want to hear Bible preaching. I'm telling you, church, what is it about God and this blessed book, man, makes you just want to ride down the road and listen to an old-fashioned preacher, huh? Hallelujah. What is it, Zach, that makes you just want to ride down the road and tune in to an old Lester Roll Off recording or an old Oliver B. Green recording? What is it that makes you want to turn? Hey, friend, instead of turning on that garbage we used to turn on, man, want to sit. Hey, what is it, Zach, that makes you want to ride all the way halfway across the country and sit in on a meeting? What is it that'll make you drive 16, 18 hours just to hear a preacher preach? And, I mean, man, enjoy. I'm telling you what it is. It's a new birth, ladies and gentlemen. Man, it's a new birth. I tell you, when God saved me, here's what I'm saying. I started wanting to go to church for the right reasons. When God saved me, I started wanting to hear Bible preaching. I remember being 15 years old, the last thing I cared in this world about was Bible preaching. You understand that? I thank God for those Bible preachers, but I didn't give a flip about Bible preaching. But when God saved me, man, something changed. I wanted to be around Bible preaching. Man. Great change. Great change. You say, preacher, I thought you said you could back this up with the Bible. Well, I'm glad you said that. Because the Bible says, as newborn babes, talking about them new converts, when you get born again, right off the bat when you get born again, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why in the world would you, that you may grow thereby? Instead, it changed my desires. I wanted to get in that blessed book. I wanted to hear that book. I wanted to grow in that book. I wanted to grow in grace. Not because I was good. Not because I wanted to. Because of something God did in me. Man. It's what a Bible salvation will do for you. It'll make you run all over this country to hear gospel preaching. Yes. Yes. It'll make you love the truth. The reason is because when I got born from above, the Spirit of truth was put in me, and I love the truth. Don't y'all hate, those of y'all that are born again, don't you hate lies and falseness? Don't you hate it? Hate that junk. And you can't deal with that. Look at verse 23. Try to move on. We got a couple more minutes, church. Verse 23. Jesus said, I have sworn by myself. Well, that's a good thing because ain't nobody else any greater. I mean, what's he going to do, swear by you, me? I've sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Why in the world would Jesus do this? Why would he put that out there like that? He said it right there. That unto me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear May I remind you this morning that Jesus Christ has been given a name which is above every name. Ain't it amazing how the Bible just connects with itself, huh? How truth just keeps lining up with truth. Amen. He's been given a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, I'm going to say this because it's there and I'm going to quit. Did you hear what I just said out of the Bible? What I said, I just told you what the Bible said. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, Steve, something that we have a problem with today is Lordship salvation. Lordship salvation. Now, church, I want you to understand, you got a preacher here and you got a pastor that believes 100% in Lordship salvation. I believe it. All the way. Because every time I read my Bible about salvation, here's what I do. I see where when they got saved, they followed Jesus. From that point on, they followed Him in the way. Many of them said, "What will thou have me to do, Muhammad? What will thou have me to do, Lord? What will you have me to do, Lord?" Let me tell you something. One of the problems that we're having in America, the reason they're so plagued, the reason there's so many problems, the reason there's so much fear and so many doubts is because we've taken out some of the ancient landmarks. We've taken out lordship. We've taken out repentance. We've removed the blood. We've removed so many things from the blessed doctrines of this book. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ is not Lord, He is not Savior. I believe, Lord, hallelujah, He's my owner, He's my master, He's my boss. And the day I got saved, I was no longer my own, but I was bought with a price. I belong to Him. He owns me now. You hear me? I am His slave. I'm His bond slave. He's my master. His wish is my command. I'm telling you, whatever He says, church, that's what I want to do, because He's my Lord. He's my owner. He's my boss. My wife's sitting over there and my child's sitting right there, and I got two more that'll tell you the same thing. I've never been able to run my home just the way I wanted to run my home. I've had to run my home the way God said for me to run my home. And I've approached my family before and I said, "Hey, this is what God wants. This is what God's word says. This is what we're going to have to do. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about Him." Amen. We've got away from that. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just be honest with you? I'm trying to quit. I just want to shoot straight for a minute because I'm such a liberal. I'm sick and tired of this pansy butt religion that's sweeping our land. I really am. Sick and tired of it. I'm so sick and tired of a religion that's sweeping our land that's leaving people empty. I've seen people for years run the aisles. I've seen people shout. I've seen them brag on their competition. I've seen them talk about how high the service got and, man, how God swooshed to it. Hey, listen, church, I've heard them talk about these numbers. And I've seen them promote and push. I've seen them pump and prime. I've seen everything in the world, Mr. Ed, and their children is going to hell while they're shouting and running the aisles. Homes is breaking up every time you turn around. Them same families is in church shouting, have no joy in their home. And I'm telling you, they're sitting there at the house of God and they're shouting and they're bragging and they're pumping and promoting, and their children is going home and they're watching a bunch of double-barreled hypocrites have no God, no joy, no love for their enemies. I'm telling you, the kids is sick of it. We've raised a generation of people that know not God. And it's because we've led everybody down the aisle and prayed a little prayer and stroked them on the back of the head and said, "You got it," and sent them home just twofold, a child of hell. Sick of it, Miss Stephanie, because people are sitting on our church pews all across America today just as lost. Just as lost as a termite and a yo-yo friend. Messed up. I'm telling you, messed up in the head. Messed up in their soul. Messed up in their spirit. Don't know which way to go. Ashamed to make another move. Ashamed to tell everybody they've messed up. Ashamed to tell everybody they've missed it. I'm sick of it, church. I'm sick of it. Churches all over our little county right here. Well, stand up and preach this morning. The same old, same old thing over and over. And their people are still dead and dry and lifeless and godless and spiritless. And they're doing it all in the name of Jesus.
I've asked Eric in the next service, by the grace of God, to stand up and teach us for a little bit on this thing called GPOC. The general body of common knowledge from GPOC, something that we're seeing. I want you to understand what we're seeing and how it's going on. And he's going to try to lay out some ideas and let you see exactly, real plain and simple, some of the stuff I'm talking about and complain about. Godless. Godless. Preacher, what are you stupid and hollering about? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's deacons in this town that don't even know how to pray. There's deacons in here that don't even know how to get a hold of God. A deacon ought to be spirit-filled, Miss Stephanie. I'm telling you what I'm convinced of, Zach. I'm convinced most of them don't need to be a deacon. Most of them need to be born again. Got a bunch of professions today without a possession. Huh? Wouldn't it be something if there was a real Jesus that went home with you? I didn't say it was not going to be some heartaches and troubles and some stuff that comes in your life. Sure it will. There'll always be that. Thank God this time you'll have a real Jesus to go through it. Yeah. We'll tell you what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you that ain't saved by the grace of God, I don't care what you've said. I don't care how many prayers you prayed. I'm not trying to create doubt, but if preaching the Word of God creates doubt, then you need to look it in the eyes and embrace it. I told Don Crowder this week, and careful about what I say. I think he's trying to call me like he used to call his son. See, he'd call his son every day. And he's calling me an awful lot here lately, and he refers to me as son. He'll call me son, hang up, say, I love you, son. And I catch that stuff. Boy, he needs a real Jesus down there in his stead because he's going through a hard, hard time. I hate to go through that kind of stuff in this old life, losing my son without the real Jesus. Trying to be careful about what I say and what I don't say. Brother Asquith is a dear friend to everybody in this congregation. I think we can say what we need to say. Instead, and I talk about him a lot, and I'm going to talk about him again. He talked about an illustration one time where a woman came out of a store and went to get in her car. And she didn't know it, but there was a man in the back seat of her car. But another man caught a glimpse of it. She took off down the road, and this man that saw that guy get in the back of her car, he takes off after her. He begins to flash his lights at her and honk his horn, and she begins to get scared and panics and didn't understand what's going on, thought maybe he was her enemy, thought maybe he was out to get her and out to hurt her. She was faced with fear. And this man's blowing the horn, flashing his lights, and he's trying to get her to pull over. Fear just crept in deeper and heavier. She sped up, and that man sped up, and he's constantly blowing the horn, constantly flashing his lights, constantly waving her over, and she keeps going. Finally, she drives to the downtown, pulls into the police department, jumps out of her car, and he jumps out. He says, ma'am, hold on. I'm not here to hurt you. He said, just trying to tell you, there's a man that stepped in the back seat of your car. And I just want to try to protect you. I said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about doubt, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes this stuff gets on our trail. And we think it's here to hurt us. And we think it's here to cause us harm when it's always just here for some kind of a warning. It's here to help us. It's here to say, hey, listen, there's danger coming in your life. There's danger in your backseat. And if you don't stop and pay attention to what God's trying to do for you, friend, you're going to wake up in a mess of iniquity and die and go to hell. Mm-hmm.
Not going to go any further. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. Isaiah said this. That his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear. And his hand is not too short that he cannot reach us. And David said it like this. The Lord brought me up also. He took that hand and reached further down. Old Sister Kirby used to say, his hand reached further down and I can reach up. Son, thank God. There in my despair, God heard my cry and took that hand and reached further down and brought me up also out of that horrible pit. That horrible pit was, oh, it's an awful place. Set me on a rock. Established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth. You can go down to my house today. You are welcome. No, you're not. It's a mess. I got it tore all to pieces. I got sheetrock. I got dust. I got dirt. I got tools. Just take my word for it. You search the history of my YouTube channels, Eric. You search them. What you gonna find? I leave my stuff laying out. My wife's welcome to it. She can pick it up. That baby can pick it up. Amber can pick it up. Anybody that walks by my little area can pick my stuff up and just have a ball. But if you search my YouTube, you know what you're gonna find? You're gonna find this old mountain boy up there in Tennessee singing songs like, I had no one to blame. I was ashamed to show my face. I was so unworthy, so undeserving of his love. And he gets to talk about that blood. And then he gets to talk about his home. It's just around the bend. Church, I'm telling you, every once in a while, you'll look up there and you'll see something about old glorious love divine. You know what he done? He put a new song. Amen. Put a new song in my mouth. Praises in my lips. Church, I want to tell you today, when you get good and saved, it'll do some things in your life. It'll make some changes, some great changes. I'm going to ask you this, and I promise you unto God I'm done. I wonder today what others might see in you and I. I wonder if we was to go ask your neighbor, what do they see in you? Do they see Christ or what? I wonder if we was to go on your job and ask the people on your job, go on my job and ask the people on my job, what do you see in that old boy? I wonder what they would say. Let me tell you what salvation would do. It'll change your son down on that job that people see Jesus. Down there in the home, people see Jesus. In your neighborhood, people see Jesus. Miss Stephanie, it's one of the hardest things in the world to do is to love your enemies. Friend, if you ever learn how to love your enemies, by the grace of God, friend, I tell you, you can display Jesus like you never believed. That's right. People can see the Lord in that. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, it'd be nice if Christ would be the answer to all of our life's questions. Lord, if we would just focus our life around the Lord Jesus Christ in this blessed book. God, I don't care what people say. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what religion says. I got a copy of your precious word laying in my hands today. And God, what matters to me is what you said in this blessed book. Otherwise, we might as well toss it in the river, dear God, and get us a good magazine somewhere and sit down and enjoy. I pray, blessed God, you'd help us to get a hold of this book. Help this book get a hold of us. Help us, God, to obey it and trust it and be willing to do, God, whatever you say. We love you and thank you. Thank you for everybody that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, I'm so sorry. Eric, will you say the blessing over the food?